Hey folks, Captain Kevin Favor, and welcome to the Outdoor Show podcast brought to you by Ag South. They are specialists in land financing in Southeast Georgia. They make loans for small and large acreage, hunting property, timberland. They even do home mortgages and construction. Look, if you've listened to our show long enough, you know Jeff and I own property in Georgia. We both used Ag South for our financing, and they were great, and we couldn't be happier. Here's a cool part about Ag South. They have competitive rates, and they pay an average of 25% of the interest back every year in patronage. So let's just say your loan's for $300,000 at 6.5% at 20 years. That means you get back $2,770 a year. They write you a check for that. You call them at 844-AG-SOUTH or go to agsouthfc.com. Ag South, really good people who really know land.
Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm going to take you fishing, honey. You're going to love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Favor and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening and welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I am Captain Kevin Favor sitting in with my good buddy
Hello.
Captain Scott Shank. And it was kind of fun this week. Went to the warehouse for Tire Outlet.
Go ahead.
It was great.
You told me the story.
It was great. You know, I mean, I like
Did
it.
Did you get lost?
Dude, it's crazy. Okay.
Huge.
Yeah. Huh?
Huge.
Yeah. But I got the tour.
Nice.
It was fun, man. Dave Marin's great guy. He loves our show. Loves you.
Okay. You know? There's not too many
people. And so it was, you know, look, and we talk about this on the Nimnik Outdoor Show all the time. You know, we know our sponsors. Mm-hmm. They're friends of ours. Mm-hmm. Seriously, you know. I mean, when we send somebody to go get tires, Tire Outlet, we know that if there happened to be a problem, we call Dave.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But we feel almost 100% sure they're going to get taken care of, mm-hmm. get the best price. You know what I mean? So it was fun, man. I enjoy. Hey, what else did I have to do?
Yeah, I mean.
Honestly, I'm not fishing.
I was at the boat show,
of
course.
But how'd that go?
Man, that was a great time.
Yeah?
And again, what you're saying is people voice recognition. You know, I was hanging around the Whalen Bay booth after the outdoor show on Saturday morning and stayed there, I don't know, till 3 o'clock-ish or so, and had the chance to talk
Shaking
to a lot
heads,
of nice people and seeing people get on the boat. You know, do you have any questions? Oh, you're Scott and Kev. Yeah, I am. Yeah, well, let's tell you, you know, we listen on da-da-da-da-da. How are these boats? You know, so, I mean, you know, hey, every boats are different. I just like what I drive right this second. So, I mean, Sea Fox is my go-to. So, I mean, it was fun to see everybody out there.
Pretty good crowd?
Yeah, it was a pretty good crowd. Wow. I mean, I didn't spend a whole lot of time walking around. But, man, what's out there right now, whether it's in boats or whatever. Dude, there was a pontoon boat over there with twin 400Rs on it.
I saw that. Remember, didn't they have
freaking
that?
Freaking huge.
At the boat show that we did?
Yes.
In Nocatee. Yeah.
And it was like, whoa, can you imagine riding that thing? That brings a whole new meaning to the word lake fishing.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about ratio
fishing?
There.
You're not buying that thing for fishing.
It's got a stereo system, dude.
That'll scare you to death. Oh, that's what that is.
Anyhow, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
though,
you hire a captain to stay sober, and you know.
Yeah, it's definitely a DD day on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, it was so much fun. The weather was marginal skunkiness,
right?
You know, so
which is good boat weather, right.
You know, and there was a lot of people that were. You know, that we're out and shopping and looking at different things. And we talked about it last week as well as we talked about on the outdoor show. Like I said, you don't have to spend gas money. It's a one-stop shop.
Right.
If you're looking at boats and you're seriously trying to find something that fits what you're looking for, price range or style of fishing or whatever, hell, what better way to go to this thing? It's huge.
Yeah.
You know, the only way it could have been any better if you could have test run anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right then and there,
right,
like the Miami boat show or something.
Right, maybe probably the only thing that's a little absent would be like 35 and above center consoles.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There was a few, not many.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're really in that market, you're going to the Miami Boat Show.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
I don't want to say the biggest one, but they had the 39.
Contender?
The Contender was there as well as the Cape Horn.
Okay, the Cape Horn.
For Whalen Bay. The big Cape Horn.
Right.
It was there. But, yes, maybe four or five other bigger ones of other ones around. But, no, I mean, if you're in that kind of area of shopping, the Miami Boat Show in, like, 2 weeks now or 3 weeks or something like that is the one you really got to go to, because then they are in the water and they do get – you can then –
Yeah, you
can
take a ride.
So it's pretty –
Anything new that kind of caught your eye? I mean, did they have the new Sea Foxes in there?
No.
They didn't have any 2020s.
Mm-mm.
They have the Shearwaters?
The Shearwaters were there.
Okay.
I think they may have one 2020 in there, but no. I mean, they were, Sea Foxes aren't really changing much.
No.
The only thing that was pretty doggone cool is talking with the owner, Jeff DeBar. He was there, which was great to shake his hand and see him, and he said hello to you as well. And is there coming out with, like, a little tackle tray that goes up underneath the leaning post that is right there.
Okay.
And it's only about that thick.
Above your cooler?
Yes.
Okay.
So, but it's just where at least everything, knives or pliers, it's right there where you and I always are. So that made it kind of cool. It's kind of a cool little add-on, at least for that that option.
They haven't changed those boats much since you and I have been running them.
No. Uh-uh.
What's it, 6 years now?
6 years.
6 years? Yeah, I mean, it's basically the same boat.
Mm-hmm. Simrad was there in with Whalen Bay.
Okay.
They had a rep there with Simrad, and shook his hand, met him, and he is not our rep. It was just a regular factory rep. And anyhow, kind of new machines for them,
mm-hmm.
a little bit different. Everybody asked me, well, do you got this? Do you got that? Do you got this? Do you got this on your machine? I said, no. I said, honestly, I don't need that side scan. I mean, somebody that maybe fishes South Florida or like the Everglades, I want to look up underneath the mangroves or the units
that you and I have right now. What do you think we use a third of them?
Yeah, hell, I don't use. I mean, I
you know what I'm saying?
I hit GPS or I hit bottom machine. That's it. I don't know what else there is.
Or Echo.
I run my gauges off of it. I
want to be able to see the bottom.
That's it.
And I want to see the bottom when I'm running.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Through a hole transducer, right?
And I want to be able to know what the temperature is.
Yep.
And obviously depth, and I want to be able to get to point A
mm-hmm.
and point B. And back and forth, and back to the inlet. That's mm-hmm. what I.
That's it.
I mean,
BJ set all mine up just like you.
Yep.
We got our little four screens over there that have the breakdowns.
You're right. Yep.
And he removed all that other kind of clutter of how fast the boat's running and all that. I don't. I listen to it. I know how fast I'm running.
Right.
I don't need to watch it on there. But yeah, I mean, I just got what I want, and that's mm-hmm. water temperature, and honestly, knowing what kilohertz I'm on as far as my bottom machine, whether I have it on 50 or I have it on 200.
Right.
But other than that, I don't care.
Yeah.
Time is very important in the day.
Yeah. But it's, like I said, all the plotters and all that stuff.
I mean, I don't need all that swinging stuff and show you what,
No.
Once we get out there to the party grounds, you could turn that up if you want to see all your numbers that you got marked around. You just start heading towards one of them.
Yeah, and it's funny because I have people ask me all the time about the side scan stuff.
Not interested.
I don't know
what it is.
Huh?
Don't know what it is. Don't care.
Maybe if we had it, saw it, used it,
Maybe. I know Captain Tommy Derringer has his, and he says he loves it. I mean, he runs Hummingbird, but he says he loves it.
Yep.
He loves a side scan, which maybe for me, because I like to fish docks a lot,
uh-huh.
maybe it would help. I don't know. Maybe it would show better ledges
mm-hmm.
that you and I both fish in the river. I don't know. I'm kind of just old school, dude. I just need to know how deep it is and what the water temperature is. Other than that, I don't care.
That's my point.
I mean,
no question.
I run about 35 miles an hour. If the daggum thing reads at 35 miles an hour, Day's made. Yep. I'm good. Just let me see what I'm running.
Yep. Yep.
But
so, coming up on the show, we're going to obviously talk to Captain Leon Dana after the 7:10 break, and then we're going to get into a conversation, and we'll talk to Leon about this too, because I know he does a lot of this. Is I want to talk topwater fishing this evening, simply for the fact that this is the time of year when it starts, when you know, and when I say that, I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about the kind of the latter part of winter, going into springtime, if we get a warm February and the water temperature gets up there. And we'll talk about the correct water temperatures of what you should be looking for and stuff like that. So just talk some topwater fishing. I love topwater fishing.
Oh, man, there's and nothing that stops your heartbeat faster than hearing that.
I just haven't done it enough, a lot, in the last 5 or 6 years, and I miss it because I used to do so many charters. Throwing topwater
plugs.
And
honestly, it's because of how many people we take now. I mean, my boat don't leave the dock unless it's got three or four.
Well, and the other thing is that you don't catch it. I mean, most of the time, you don't catch a ton of fish.
And you have people that, like Leon. Leon, for some ungodly reason, could get people up at 5:45 in the morning. I don't know how the hell he does.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But my crew will not, I mean, you know, it's got to be 8 o'clock.
I know. I get it. But you know you might have that, and I'm not talking about us specifically. I'm talking about people that want to go do it, you know, and they're fishing with their buddy.
They're still catching good ones right now. I know the boys up in Jacksonville catch some really good ones.
Yeah,
doing good.
Trout and reds. Okay, all right. Let's take a break.
Okay,
and if you want to give us a call, 641-1010. And when we come back, like I said, we'll talk to Captain Leon Dana, and then we'll talk to later Captain Chip Wingo, and we'll talk about favorite topwater plugs, rods and reels, and all that good stuff. We'll be right back with the Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
You're listening to the Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Kevin Favor, sitting with Captain Scott Shank.
Got
Gary holding on, and then we're going to go talk to Captain Leon Dana to see what Gary has to say this evening. What's up, Gary?
Good evening. Good evening, gentlemen. You know who wrote that song, Shameless?
No.
Billy Joel.
Billy Joel did?
You know, I think you're absolutely right, and then he did not want it, I'm almost heard about it. And Garth Brooks took it. Yep.
Yeah, Garth Brooks did okay with it.
Yeah.
I try to give you a little nugget each week, Captain.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, tough thing of a question each week, but Captain Kevin and Scott, my question this week is going to be, do you guys ever give seminars on being a captain? And do you ever have an apprentice program where you teach someone learning to be a captain, the ins and outs, where they come on board with you and you show them, you know, the proper way to do things?
Yeah, I've done it once.
Well,
really?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes and no. Okay, all right, and here's my answer. I always tell young and upcoming charter captains, hey, and for that matter, Gary, it doesn't have to be young. A lot of guys retire, and they're like, hey, I'd like to be a charter captain, you know, and they're like, you know, how do I get started? What do I do? And so we lead them in the right directions. But here's the deal, honestly, Gary, you can't put, let's just say they go and get their license and they're like, okay, you know, what do I do? Well, they got to learn that on their own.
Yep, that's their own.
Because how I handle people and how Scott handles people are two totally different ways. Everybody has different personalities. So I can't teach somebody how to be a charter captain. I can help them get into the business. But I can't tell them why I'm successful or why Scott's successful or Captain Kirk Waltz or Captain Jeremy Alvarez, because everybody has their own methods of doing things, you know?
What happened with your one experience you were talking about, Scott?
Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
Okay. With me, honest to gosh, and I think a lot of it with Kevin too, the word captain now is kind of like Oreo cookies. Everybody has one.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, when I was going through the lineup, when at a young age, it was almost like walking by Waylon Jennings. Oh my God, look, that's Captain Kevin Favor right there. It meant something to be a captain. the way the new kind of standards are running to be one, this is my personal feelings, is a lot of them put the wheel before the horse or whatever the old saying is, meaning
cart before the horse,
whatever. I've never been a philosopher, okay? Just get over it. The reason I say that is how I was brought up at 13 years old. My first job I got paid was $5 a day, and I scrubbed squid bait buckets and hosed the boat off on a party boat for my first year. Then the next year I got moved up to like a second mate. So, hey, maybe I got to go drop the anchor or something and get to pull it. Okay, this is exciting. Then you moved up to be a first mate where you're literally tying rigs and gaffing fish. There's a pro to me that is not being followed nowadays is there was somewhat of a protocol. You started at the bottom and you worked to the top, where now it's easy that you could just go right to the top. Okay, where a lot of these younger kids, I'm never saying I'm a mechanic by any sorts and any means, but I have seen it all. I've been in fires, I've been in hurricanes, I've been in tornadoes, I've been in water spouts. I've done it all. I've seen life and death on a boat. I've done it all. So, I don't want to sound that, but I have watched, I have seen life and death. I have had fires. I've done a lot. Let me just say, I have not seen it all. I have done a lot. My problem is, and I'm my nephew, he's a captain.
He's being really old here.
I am. My nephew's a captain now, okay? He's 19 years old. But he hasn't gone through the school yet of being on a back deck of a party boat learning how to tie double rigs to being on the back deck of a marlin boat learning how to wire a marlin. I mean, he just caught, you know, he was on the boat last summer just catching his first marlin, okay? There is... I think just like with any job, you're an apprentice, just like you put those words. But you can't become an admiral of a Navy ship before you have been first class. You got to gain your way up there. And unfortunately, I feel as though the new way that is steering is not getting the kids up the line or anybody up the line.
Yeah, it's a shame, guys. Isn't it the way they used to, you know, everything – you know, you learn from a master craftsman in whatever, woodworking or whatever it is. And like you're right, Scott, how it's changed over the years to where, you know, you took pride. You're an apprentice of a master of whatever, and they taught you the ins and outs of everything and how much it has changed in that over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 100%. Thanks, Scott. All right, buddy. See you, Gary.
Good question. It's unfortunate. I could elaborate on it, but I mean.
What you're saying is that you're not going to be a master electrician because you went and took a course.
Yeah, so I go over to the tech center, and now all of a sudden I'm a master electrician?
Right.
I mean, you and I are both master captains.
Yeah.
But we've legitimately put our hours in on those boats to become one.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Well, now you can take a computerized course with riding on, just going on 10 charters with us.
Right.
300 hours and now become a six-pack charter captain.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel as though they haven't. That's just me. Sorry.
That's just you. All right, let's go talk to Captain Leon Dana.
Let me climb off the box. I'm done.
It's okay, Scotty. Just get off your little shoebox. I don't want you to trip and fall. Easy killer.
It's not very tall. It's only like 3 inches tall.
Your
inhaler, I'm not that tall.
You're good.
I'm fine. I've never got excited.
Hey, Leon, seriously, let's be honest. You're in that
it's
school.
It's not you, but me.
You're in that school. I mean, you were like, you know what? I want to become a charter captain. And you went and got your license.
6 years ago.
Absolutely. You know what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
that wasn't that long ago if you actually think about it.
No,
that's my point.
Compared to you, Scotty and Kevin, I mean, I'm a newbie.
Yeah.
Technically.
But you can do that in this business.
It is one business that you truly can.
Yeah.
I'm not taking that away from anything.
I know. I'm just saying Leon's a pretty damn good charter captain and he never scrubbed the
sea. I don't know. We caught the hell out of the Sailcats with him last time. I don't know.
Hey.
What do you count that for?
Scotty, you gotta admit we crushed those catfish.
We did, caught some catfish, dude.
We put the absolute we put a bounty on them.
I didn't mean to make it sound like maybe I did, and I apologize if I made it sound like that to people, but it's just, I don't know, you just, the captain, you always had that insignia, at least for me, of wow, he's a, you know, he runs this 60-foot, you know, big old sport fisherman or whatever.
I get it.
You know, and it was like, you know, just, I don't know. It's I just feel, I don't know, somebody like it's lost its respect.
But Leon, let's face it. I mean, there's not a lot of kids, you know, coming up these days that are like, hey, I want to be a charter captain. Most charter captains now are part-time guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're police officers, they're firefighters, they're bartenders, and they're all damn good fishermen.
There's no doubt.
I'm not saying right. that.
We're not talking about anybody's abilities by any means.
But you know, for you know the little snot-nosed kid like me. When I was 8 years old, I wanted to be a charter captain.
Yeah, no, I'm right there 100% with you.
You know, I mean, seriously, I mean, I tried to go to college for a year, and I flipping hated
it, 3 months,
man.
I lasted 3 months.
And I told my dad, I said, Dad, I know you're going to be mad at me, but mm-hmm. I can't be away from the ocean. I've got to figure out a way.
It's my home.
Yeah, I got to figure out a way to make a living. And my dad kept telling me, dude, you cannot make a living being a charter captain. Mm-mm. And to this day,
my dad tells me he loves me every day because you know just how proud he is of what I do.
My
now.
Dad's the same way. He's like, "Damn, I'm glad you listened to me."
Mm-hmm.
Both of you guys know. After I got out of the Marine Corps, I went back to the family's business.
Yep.
And you know that I called my mother and my father every day at 10 o'clock just to tell them how much I love them, and they still to this day just say, "We're just so happy you're happy now." Because I mean, from where I went to where I am now. My disposition and my love is just better than ever because I was truly miserable in my first life of my job.
Yep.
20 years 100%. In the family business, I was burnt out. And what I do now every day, I swear to God, it's a blessing to me. And I just love sharing what I have and my passion with whoever's on that boat.
All right, listen, we got some minutes to go here, all right? Let's talk top water. Because I've just all of a sudden
yeah, you got an itching for that all of a sudden, don't you?
Well, that, and I've had people text me and there's a lot of interest in it.
When does it start?
Yeah, Leon, so you know, we all know that fish are lethargic in the wintertime. You know, and if the water temperature's below, I'm gonna say 64 would be be my guess. You know, if it's below 64, I'm not fired up about throwing topwater plugs. You know.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
And so I like that temperature, like I said, to be 65 and above. And I personally think 68 to 72 is the magic number. When I threw a lot of topwater plugs for big trout, it was 68 to 72.
If I would pick months, I would probably pick something like the middle of March through May.
Absolutely. 100%.
And then back again September and October.
100%.
Then back again September and October.
Yeah. So, Leon, you've got these conditions, you know, where water temperature seems right. Let's say it's the, you know, last week of February, first week of March, and we're like, you know what, this water temperature's spiking up. What are you throwing?
Right now, what I'm throwing in the valley, and it's working very well, I'm throwing skitter walks in three different colors. They have a redfish pattern.
Mm-hmm.
They have a mullet pattern that I do like. And then they make one that kind of looks like a creamy banana with a brown top on top of it. And I'm going to throw the banana color tonight. And personally, my numbers vary from yours. I feel comfortable throwing 60 degrees and above. That's the number I go with in the valley. But the one thing that makes me feel comfortable throwing a topwater plug is right now, this morning, it was 58 degrees in the valley. And I pull out of the valley and I idle warming up my motor south a couple hundred yards just to get outside of the docks. But outside the docks, it's low tide this time of year, this month, actually this week. I'm watching finger mullet jump. They're still jumping in the morning. And if they're jumping in the morning, I know that the fish are active enough to move around. The bait fish are active enough to be moving around.
Right.
So I'm willing to throw a topwater plug. If I don't see any movement whatsoever, I mean, they're that lethargic, I'm not going to throw that plug.
Right, absolutely.
This morning, I was throwing to schooling redfish, the redfish pattern. because every once in a while, there's just a big, nasty, mean trout sitting in there that wants to destroy that bait. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I work a bait. You know how they always say, never stop the bait. If something hits at it,
yep.
Keep moving it. I do that with my plugs religiously. I not only do I throw to the schooling fish that I see moving down the banks, but I will do a lot of blind casting in the valley, because wherever I see a little disturbance from the mullet or the needlefish, there's close by, there is either a trout or a sizable redfish. And these past, you know, couple of days, we've been lucky enough, even though the water temperature is low, throwing a skitter walk for me in any one of those three colors has proven effective. And mm-hmm. I'll continue with that. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this, now that we've kind of talked about that. Your gear, rod, 7-foot stiff?
I run a 7-foot rod.
Yep.
It's 6 to 12. It's got a heavy back. It's got a heavy back, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's got a fast action tip.
Okay.
It's pretty much going to be a medium fast taper.
Yeah, medium fast taper.
You're going to call it medium fast taper.
Yeah.
And I'm running 10 pounds. I like it so I can get a lot of range, you know, when I'm throwing that topwater plug. I'm going to send it downrange with a 20 pound fluorocarbon. And it's on a spinning tackle. And it's just a steady retrieve, you know?
And you're throwing 10 pound braid?
Yeah, I throw 10 pound braid. Every rod I have is 10 pound braid.
Wow.
I do not have zero. I have zero. Wow. I am not the least bit scared of any break off. They don't break. The only time I have fish that break me off is when I have a kamikaze come straight at the boat, and he runs under the boat and gets to the motor or the trim tabs.
Okay.
I don't get break offs in oyster beds. It just doesn't happen.
Right. I get that, but I just like to have some. Personally, I like to have something a little heavier to help me work that bait. You know. I like to throw a top dog, and it's a little more work than using the skitter wall.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know,
because the water, it's actually a wider profile.
Right. Exactly. So I like that the 7-foot little more stiff rod. You know, go to 20 pound. A braid, so that's why I want to.
If I'm going to throw one, I'd probably call it a medium rod straight through.
Right, right, absolutely.
I'm just saying, because I don't want that tip to give, because if that tip gives, it's going to throw at least my walking off.
Sure.
Because it's wagging back and forth.
Right,
you know, everybody has their own, but I'm just telling you specifically, me personally. I would fish nothing but a medium rod.
Right.
And honestly, I'm going to fish 15-pound braid. I get what you're saying, 100%, but I'm going to fish 15-pound braid. And I'm going to fish probably, like almost a 3-foot leader if I'm going to fish, because I want to keep that lure ahead.
Absolutely.
Now, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Are you guys tying loop knots or straight knot to the bait?
You want me to be honest with you?
Yeah.
I don't know how to tie a loop knot, and I would.
Okay.
No big deal.
Yeah. Because Loggeman throws a loop knot on all of
his. Very little bit of walking.
Yep. All right, Leon, we got to run, brother. Appreciate it. Great job,
always
as usual.
Have. Great evening, guys.
Thanks, bud. Right,
see you. 641-1010, 641-1010, if you want to get in on our conversation about topwater fishing. Love to have you. Right here on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. We'll be right back.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, always with my good friend Captain Kevin Favor.
Yep.
How many more Wednesdays? Where are we at now?
Because
we're coming into February.
A couple more Wednesdays.
Okay. Well, you can still listen to us on Wednesdays from 7 to 8. We'll let you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll let you know via Facebook, on the Outdoor Show, or whatever, when we change over. Let's talk to Captain Chip Wingo. I think he's going to help us dive in on this a little bit better.
Chip.
Come on, Chip.
What's up? What's up,
guys? What's up?
Hey, I'm going to give you a forecast that's not for topwater fishing.
Yes.
Okay. tonight, north northeast, 20 to 25, 4 to 6, occasional 8. Tomorrow, 20 to 25 out of the north northeast, 5 to 7 with occasional 9. Thursday night, north winds 15 to 20. Friday, north northeast 10 to 15, 2 to 4, which I do not ever, there's no way in hell it's 2 to 4 on Friday. For the weekend, as of right now, it's Wednesday. North northwest winds 10 to 15, 2 to 3
Sucker.
On Saturday. Yeah. And then west northwest 15 to 20 on Sunday. The only day that looks decent right now is Monday, west winds 5 to 10, but that's going to change about 100 times.
Yep, since then.
So, anyway.
So, Chip, Leon's already called in. Leon's already talked about it. You'd probably do more of it than he does as far as topwater fishing
than
goes.
Than any of us do.
Probably than any of us do. Because I have too many clients.
Right.
I don't do it. I enjoy when you and I go and we go play around.
Yep.
But it's fun to talk to other captains to figure out what kind of baits do you throw if you're throwing top waters. What kind of rod do you use? What kind of line do you use?
I'll start with how I rig my terminal pack or my rods and reels.
Okay.
I use a 7.5-foot medium heavy action rod. And that goes both on spinning and on bait casters.
Yep.
I use 20-pound braid, and I use 40-pound fluorocarbon, and I tie a loop knot. And the reason I tie the loop knot and I use heavy fluorocarbon is lighter lines can have a tendency to catch that the second hook or the third hook, because I use one that has three hooks on it. So I like a stiff leader that allows with a loop knot in it, which allows that bait to move around freely when you're walking the dog with it. With that being said, I like throwing the old bone Zara Spook, which is one of my favorites of all. I use a white top dog, which is another one of my favorites, and then I use a bone colored chug bug, the super chugger, the big one.
Yep.
It's a bone color that has like a little orange stripe on the belly. And go ahead.
No. So why are you so big into white? Because I'm telling you right now, I'm going on Leon's side because in my tackle drawer and skitter walks, I have the redfish pattern. I have what looks like a speckled trout pattern and a black back, white, silvery
like mullet
belly mullet pattern of the other. Those would be the three. The other now and again, I'll throw like maybe a chrome with a blue back.
Okay,
but that would probably be my four.
What color is that? That would be
white.
White, yep. And where are you looking at? They're looking up. That's just I use.
And I got to throw another one in there, a chartreuse.
Yeah.
I love a chartreuse colored topwater bait.
Mm-hmm.
Always have. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe in those hieroglyphics, guys? The Yozuri makes them they're like the Silvermen or whatever the heck they call them.
No.
All fancy looking.
I know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I think a lot of lures are made to catch fishermen.
Yes.
to buy them. And I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that swear by the top dog and the black, gold, and orange. There's guys that swear by redfish patterns, trout patterns, and everything else. And it's just, you know, I caught my biggest trout, which was 14.75 pounds, on a white top dog. You know,
so you know what you're going to do? You're going to continue to throw that white top dog.
Can you imagine what a 14-pound trout looks like?
Yeah,
I mean, the biggest I ever caught was 8.5.
Yeah, I've caught two at 11 pounds.
Have you really?
Yeah. Yeah, I sure have. I've caught some.
Really?
When I saw the fish, I was actually scared. I mean, my biggest buck was when I saw it. I thought it was a big redfish. But, I mean, with that being said, those are my go-to baits. I mean, and I like them for different reasons. If I have a client that isn't really good at walking the dog, the chug bug is a really good bait for them. And I still throw it, too. It works really well. And I tell you what else likes it. The cobia like them, too. You can throw that chug bug and pop it across the surface, and you'll catch one with it. And
I also
have thrown the whopper plopper. And that's a different bait. I like using that thing with the big flopping tail on it.
Yep.
I like using that thing, like, right, I would say during the mullet run would be my favorite time to use it, because you never know what you're going to catch on it.
Right.
You
bring up the point of throwing topwater plugs for cobia, and I think we've had this conversation. I had a balsa broken back.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It had three 4-aught trebles.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. This thing was huge, man. And you
dude,
could take
no
it.
Way I'm taking
you
a
could
Kobe
throw
that
thing like seriously, you could throw it 50 yards, you know. But when you came up on a ray, and everybody's standing there waiting to cast, I'm like, fee!
Yeah. You know? I saw the ray a quarter mile away.
Yeah,
sorry,
absolutely,
guys.
Man. What
was it, a Hayden?
It had no name on it, okay, whatsoever. But my point was, is that with a ray, I could hit the field goal, right? And I never had to worry about hooking the ray.
Right, with throwing something weighted.
Throwing top water, you know. And it's kind of the same thing that we've started doing with the Cajun Thunders and the Thunder Chickens when we're fishing on rays now. You know, so I know that's a totally different fishery, but you can throw top water.
Mm-hmm.
A cobia will crush a top water plug. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, what would you do? Run like 2 7-aught circles or something, and replace the trebles? Because that gets scary if you gotta let them go.
Well, you just
$12.
This was with me.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you were to do that today and throw a top water plug, all of us, what are you replacing?
I don't think I would put circle hooks on it. I would put J hooks on it, you know, and I would use one.
One in the back, like when we jackfish.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
If you pinch down the
barb.
That's
a good idea.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a good idea.
You just have to keep the fish tight. You know, yep. A lot of guys I know who've been hooked, like I have, I've been hooked with really bad deep with a big top dog, where I had to go to the ER for it, and I learned to pinch them down. If I have clients on the boat, I'll pinch all the barbs down. That way, if somebody gets hooked, it comes right out. I mean, it doesn't stick. And, you know, that's the dangerous part about topwater plugs. I've had them fly out of fish's mouth, you know, all kinds of stuff. But, I mean, it's...
No, because I'll tell you the other thing. People ask me if I throw artificials at tarpon.
Yeah, nope.
And I'm like, hell, and I used to. I used to throw that Bomber Long A.
Yeah.
Loggeman turned me onto that because he was catching them in the river. And, you know, people just don't understand how fast that lure's coming back, man. When that tarpon comes up there and shakes his head and they're pulling back, it's ugly. I mean, that's a missile coming at you with three hooks.
Probably the worst hook I've ever got in me was about a 30-pound mahi. I gaffed him. When I got him up over the rail, he come off the gaff. Well, he's just laying on the deck. I figured, okay, we're fine. I'm going to open up the door and just slide him right in the box. Well, with all that weight, and like you said, you don't realize that little Williamson, you know, the little Moldcraft plug or whatever you got with a 12-aught hook. Dude, he slung that head. And it went completely straight through my ankle.
Yep.
We had to bring out the big set of vice thing to cut the hook out of my ankle.
Oh, imagine that? Oh, my God, get that thing off of me.
Oh, dude, I mean, it was.
Oh, that's painful.
Well, I mean, I'm just telling you. I mean, the fish was off.
Right.
He just slung the lure. When he slung the lure, it went straight across the deck and hooked one right through my ankle, literally.
Wow.
Well,
one of the things that I was listening to Leon talk about, presentation with the way he works the topwater plug.
Mm-hmm.
I change it up. I change the cadence on it a lot. I'll walk it, stop, and then I'll give it a long pause, and then walk it, stop, and then I change it up like 1-2, 1-2-3-4. And in the wintertime, a lot of times you can get real methodical with them. When the water, I like the water when 60 degrees and up, I'll throw a topwater plug. And I also watch for bait like Leon does too. If I see active bait, then I know they'll lead a topwater plug. Because if they're going to eat the mullet, they're going to chase them down too. But a lot of times, when you pause that bait, they'll slam it. And if I get a fish that's coming at it and just swimming at it, you know, he's got his head pushing it, he's not hitting it, I'll stop walking it and just reel it straight, you know, and just bring it straight away from him so he's not having to chase it.
And it's to folks that haven't done a lot of topwater fishing, when you throw it and it hits the water, you let it sit.
Let the rings disappear.
Exactly.
Let the rings disappear.
Because what you got to remember is when it hits the water and there's a fish somewhere around, he's looking at that lure, and then I hit it two or three times, like bat bat bat, and then generally speaking, that's where your hits are going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know. Because you've thrown it on the edge of the grass, or you've thrown it on the edge of the oyster bar, or on a drop off, or something like that. But yeah, it's let the rings disappear.
But I mean, I don't know.
And the other biggest thing, Scotty and Kevin, is when you're reeling it and you get a hit, you don't set the hook. You just keep reeling until it comes
to
bite.
You reel through the fish. Yeah. I tell everybody to reel through the fish.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because if not, he's going to blow it up. You're going to snatch it right away from him.
Talk about coming back at you.
And it's coming at you.
Yep. Now, real quick, if 60 to 65 degrees, like you said, we're just going to dick. I mean, we're not moving it like a long distance. What I'm getting at is your twitches are not a 3-foot twitch.
Right.
It's only basically moving the rod maybe 6 inches. Am I correct, guys?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then the hotter the water gets, 66, 68, 70 degrees early in the morning.
Get more aggressive.
Then, I mean.
You can work it.
I'll work the heck out of it. Then.
Right.
You know, but this time, you know, coming up through March, it won't, you know, like you said.
Chip, one other question. When you're, you know, using a Zara Spook, you're walking it, rod position down?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when I'm using a spinning rod, sometimes I'll work it up a little bit. And if you're around spooky fish, also, if you lift the rod tip up, you don't have the line drag in the water either. Mm. It just depends on the condition, you know. And if the fish are kind of spooky and that line, if the line's bothering them in the water, I'll go with switching it up. And usually when I'm switching it up, I'm working a lot slower. But I prefer putting the rod down and feeling the lure and just short twitches. And a lot of guys, I know a lot of guys that like a 6-foot rod for it, and I prefer a longer rod. And even with that 20-pound and the 40-pound leader, I can whip that thing a mile. You know, you've got a
absolutely.
Tip, you can cast it a mile. So, you know, and also one last thing, in the flood grass, and I showed this to Leon, and he knows it works, I use a frog. I use a little soft body collapsible frog that has the two hooks, you know, the double hook in them.
Yep.
And that's a great topwater in the flood grass. Cause you can, and especially, in the super floods, when it gets really high and the fish are slurping, it'll absolutely annihilate a frog.
Hmm.
So it's a lot of fun. You know, and we all fish it for that explosion.
I mean, absolutely.
Oh yeah. I don't need hooks on mine. I just want my heart rate to stop. When he blows it up.
Oh, I want hooks on it because that 10-pound trout's going to come up there.
And slurp.
I'm going to get me a good photo. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Yeah.
So,
hey, what's the weirdest thing you ever – wait a minute. We didn't ask Leon this. What is the weirdest thing you ever caught on a topwater plug?
Flounder.
Yep, same here.
Yep. And the weirdest thing I ever saw my brother catch was a mullet. So
I've caught a mullet.
On the back of it.
Yep.
That's just crazy. But, I mean, when you get a redfish that's coming in and knocking that plug.
This is an honest, true story. When I was shooting TV shows, I had mullet head with me, Mr. Paul Gallup. We were topwater fishing. He throws it up in the grass, you know, and he's working it through the grass. He's, oh, there we go. We're filming this. Here we go. You know, a little, like, half explosion or whatever. He's reeling it, dude. He's fighting it. He comes and gets it up there. He hooked a dead catfish in the side.
Nuh-uh.
And so it's coming in sideways, so it looks like he's got a fish, and he's honest to goodness. You can ask him on Sunday.
Oh, we will ask him on Sunday.
Yeah, a dead catfish on topwater plug. You know, because, Chip, the catfish was kind of up in the grass, and he threw it right across
the
back.
So when he hung it, looked like an explosion struck
exactly,
it sideways.
Yeah.
Dang, that's funny there. I'm going to have to harass him over that.
Yeah,
one.
So when you ask that question, that would be the weirdest thing.
Okay.
That
but I mean, needlefish love those topwater plugs too. Boy,
yeah.
I've caught, I mean, Yep. Probably weird. I mean, I've hung a few of those, too. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll jump at the lure or whatever, mm-hmm. and they'll snag us in the back.
Yep. Yep, yep. Yeah. Chip, we appreciate it, buddy.
You got it, guys. Have an awesome night.
All
bye,
right,
buddy.
You too. 641-1010, 641-1010. Give us a call right here on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. We've got one more small segment to go.
Hard to believe. It's an hour already?
Yeah, an hour already.
Wow.
I like it. We've got stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
What? Obviously, it's, you know, like almost 8 o'clock. I'm hungry, and they start talking about free order of nachos.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I'm in. Where are they at? Somebody bring me something.
You went to Moe's this week.
I did go to Moe's.
St. Augustine.
I went yesterday.
Nice.
Went to Moe's in St. Augustine yesterday, and
it's
just good food, dude. I had my Joey, because I'm not a guacamole person.
Right, right.
And that's what the homewrecker has on it, so I had the Joey.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty darn good.
Pretty darn good.
Little, what was it? It was the, dirty rice, I guess it was. Whatever the spicier rice was.
Mm-hmm.
In the thing.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Hey, we had somebody call. They didn't want to get, you know,
they
on the air with us, which is fine. And they want to talk surf fishing. Probably to be very honest, probably the slowest time of year.
Yeah.
For surf fishing.
Outside of whiting and stuff like
right,
that, that's
right,
pretty much
right,
it. Because you're like your black drum and your redfish, that was like a month ago.
Yeah.
But now that the surf is, you know, bogging around 55 degrees, 58
right.
degrees. Because a good friend of ours, Captain Guy Spears, had an offshore, mm-hmm. and he went out about 18, 19 miles, and it was only 60 degrees out there.
Yeah, got you.
So your surf is still going to be good for your whiting and stuff like that, but looking at the forecast right this second, it's not a surf fishing weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be blowing hard out of the north-northeast for the next 3 days.
It's going to dirty it up.
It's going to dirty it up, and then you're going to go north-northwest 10 to 15 on Saturday, which will make the surf nice. You'll be able to, you know.
I've just never been a fan of a northwest wind catching
dude,
fish.
Are you kidding me? Northwest wind's the worst fishing wind we have.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying.
It's because it's their barometer's dropping, and it's just not a good wind.
Anything out of north when you surf fish is probably just like a don't.
Right.
I mean, if it's me, I'm picking anything from the east to the west at a 10 to 15 knot pace.
Okay. So, but hey. Look, I got Saturday and Sunday off because
I'm going,
the Super Bowl's, you know, 6 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm getting up on Saturday morning and doing a few things. You know, the grass isn't growing, so
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go somewhere around Ponte Vedra.
Yeah.
South Ponte Vedra, you know, which was the old Gate Station,
right.
which is now an Exxon station. There's all kinds of public access
mm-hmm.
right there, or picnic tables near St. Augustine.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to kind of look at the surf, too. You might have to work down, you know.
Sure.
I mean, with this northeast wind, so your river water's going to be dirty coming out. So anywhere close to, like, our inlet's probably going to be dirty.
Yep.
So you're going to have to get away from the inlet a little bit. Look through your waves.
Mm-hmm.
See if you can kind of look through them.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, you know, they kind of look clear when you see the capping or the cresting of the wave.
Fresh dead shrimp.
Fresh dead shrimp, clams.
Yep.
Pretty much all you need. I mean,
yeah.
you don't need to get finger mullet because there's no bluefish really around right now. That's March and April.
Keep your rig simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a 15-pound fluorocarbon, a little kale hook, and a little weight, and chuck it out there and see what happens.
Yep,
but
that's it.
It's like I said, it's just kind of a tough time of year. I think you'll catch some whiting.
I know that will be it. Just, I mean, they've been catching them. You know, you just got to have the clean water.
Absolutely, that's true. Yeah, it clean water is especially. With surf fishing.
Yeah.
If you find dirty water with surf fishing, you're going to catch catfish and stingrays.
Well, if it's not only that, but you're never going to hold. If we're calling 4 to 6,
six to eight,
that means the surf is going to be 3 to 5. There's no way
it's going to be cold as hell.
And the line's just going to drag all over the place.
Right, right. You might as well stay home and clean the garage.
I would. I'd put something on the smoker and get ready for Sunday evening if it was me, but whatever.
Yep. Folks, make sure you join us 7 to 10 mm-hmm. on Saturday morning for the Nimnik Outdoor Show, and I'm sure we'll recap with Captain Kirk more about the boat show and And
the whole crew's back together this
year. Yeah. Jeff and I and Captain Kirk will be there. Mm-hmm. So it should be it should be absolutely fun. And hey, just a huge thanks to Tire Outlet,
yes sir,
for being our new sponsor and meet with those guys, Dave. And it was really cool, folks. Y'all have a great week of fishing. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.